benefits or advantages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal. I have just been hit with a story that I find completely outrageous. I want to share it with you, and it seems to me indicative of the problems we have with the government and the District of Columbia, the Democrats. It epitomizes when you remember that January 6th, was orchestrated by Nancy Pelosi and the FBI with the assistance of the Capitol Police and the D.C. Police. I think you'll share my outrage. Get this. And I've just published it on my blog at jamesfetzer.org. Police beating of unconscious Trump supporter was objectively reasonable department rules. Now, mind you, this woman who was beaten when she was unconscious subsequently died. Internal Affairs Bureau conducted probe in response to a police brutality complaint. The beating of an unconscious Trump supporter by D.C. Metropolitan Police Department officer on January 6th was deemed to be objectively reasonable after an investigation by the department's Internal Affairs Bureau. The Epoch Times has learned. And let me say, the Epoch Times is a really super source. Their articles are well-researched, well-written, timely, relevant, and important. The Internal Affairs investigation was opened in September 2021 based on a complaint filed by a Texas man who assembled video evidence of the officer striking an unconscious Roseanne Boylan with a steel baton and a large wooden stick at the entrance to the West Terrace Tunnel at the U.S. Capitol on January 6, 2021. Boylan, 34, of Kennesaw, Georgia, was pinned under a pile of protesters who fled the tunnel when police deployed a crowd control gas. After several minutes of being crushed by the weight of other fallen protesters, Boylan lost consciousness and stopped breathing, witnesses have said. Boylan traveled to Washington, D.C. that day to attend the Stop the Steal rally and hear then-President Donald Trump speak at the Ellipse. She became trapped in a crowd that sought entry to the Capitol through the West Terrace Tunnel. As Boylan lay unconscious on the ground, D.C. Metro Police Officer Lila Morris, who happens to be black, repeatedly struck her with a steel baton and what appeared to be a wooden walking stick, according to a video recording. The sudden attack horrified Boylan's friend and traveling companion, Justin Winchell, who pleaded with police and protesters to provide first aid to Boylan. Police body cam footage shows Winchell's shock when he saw Morris strike Boylan in the head. She's going to die. She's going to die. I need somebody. She's dead, Winchell cried. Boylan was not pronounced dead until more than 90 minutes later, although she appeared lifeless when the police dragged her body from the West Terrace Tunnel entrance into the Capitol at 4:31 p.m. During the 11 minutes after Boylan fell, protesters made repeated attempts at CPR, efforts that were frustrated in part by the beating and police spraying pepper spray into the faces of those trying to help Boylan video shows. And the videos are all available on my blog. There is confusion about what life-saving efforts were made by police after Boylan was moved into the Capitol. Testimony before a congressional committee suggested police attempted CPR at 4:26 p.m., which wasn't possible since at that time Boylan still lay on the concrete outside, being given CPR by protesters Jake Lang and Ronald McAbee. A D.C. medical examiner said Boylan died of an accidental overdose of Adderall, a prescription medication used to treat attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. That ruling has drawn skepticism and outrage from Boylan's friends and family. Her father, Brett Boylan, said Roseanne had been taking Adderall for about 10 years. The attack on Boylan troubled Gary McBride of Decatur, Texas so much he filed a police brutality complaint with the Metropolitan Police Department on September 14, 2021. McBride assembled a library of video recorded at the Capitol on January 6. McBride, who spent most of his career in the gas and oil industry, has turned into a professional video sleuth after studying thousands of hours of January 6 footage. McBride went back and forth with various Metropolitan Police Department officials over more than 2 months before being told via email on November 15 that Morris had been cleared of any wrongdoing. The use of force within this investigation was determined to be objectively reasonable, wrote Captain David K. Augustine, director of the Risk Management Division of the Metropolitan Police Department Internal Affairs Bureau. Officer Morris is still employed with the MPD and not facing criminal charges related to the use of force on January 6. McBride said he found the reasoning and conclusion shocking. It told me right there that it's okay for them to do what they do, meaning whatever they do. They are doing exactly what they want to do. They don't care if you know or see, McBride said. They just showed me how they're going to beat somebody and kill them, but have the power to say that was objectively reasonable. And we're supposed to accept that and say, okay. And remember, and I'm adding that she was unconscious, unconscious. How can it be objectionably reasonable to beat someone who's unconscious with a steel baton? This is insane. Officer Morris, who had just reached the front line in the West Terrace Tunnel, is seen on body cam picking up what appears to be a walking stick or a tree branch. She raised the weapon over her head with both hands and struck Boylan at least 4 times in rapid succession. The stick broke at one point. Morris continued to strike at Boylan until other officers pulled her back. Morris was hailed as a hero after January 6. She was feted as a guest of honor at Super Bowl 54 in Tampa. Philip Anderson of Mesquite, Texas, who was at the bottom of the same pile that crushed Boylan, called MPD's use of force ruling absolutely expletive, absolutely shit. There is nothing reasonable about hitting a non-responsive woman lying on the ground over the head with a baton, Anderson, 26, told the Epoch Times. They say it's reasonable because she, Boylan, was a Trump supporter. Anderson said there was cause from the beginning for an independent investigation by a special prosecutor or a grand jury. The fact that they have been lying from the beginning is reason enough for this investigation. The only reason why anyone even knows this is because I barely survived and am here to now call out the blatant lies about the woman they killed. McBride sent 2 videos as evidence along with his police brutality complaint. One of the videos was removed from YouTube. It is available on Rumble. The other video is still accessible on YouTube. Brett Boylan asked the Metropolitan Police Department for copies of body cam video from various police officers in the Terrace Tunnel. That request was denied. Surprise, surprise. Wednesday was 9 months from our daughter's passing, and we still have many unanswered questions as to what happened to her that day, Brett Boylan wrote in a Freedom of Information Act request in fall of 2021. On October 12th, Shania Hughes, a Freedom of Information Act specialist with the Metropolitan Police Department, told Brett Boylan MPD would not release any body cam footage. It has been determined that the information you are seeking is part of an ongoing investigation and criminal proceeding, Hughes wrote, with exception of the portions of the video that have been shown publicly. MPD cannot fulfill your request. The release of this information could interfere with the enforcement proceeding by revealing the direction and pace of the investigation. Right, right, right. What bullshit. The Epoch Times also made a FOIA request for Officer Morris's body cam footage for her entire shift on January 6, 2021. That request was also denied, but for different reasons than those given to Brett Boylan. The department cited policy grounds for denying the newspaper's request. Officers attempted CPR after Boylan was moved inside Capitol. Brett Boylan said the family was initially denied a copy of Roseanne's full autopsy report, but since has obtained the document. Through our lawyer and additional FOIA requests, we have obtained the full autopsy report, which has been forwarded to the pathologist, Brett Boylan told the Epoch Times. The family contracted with its own forensic pathologist to review the D.C. Medical Examiner's report on Roseanne Boylan's death. Brett Boylan said heavily redacted body cam footage he obtained shows that police did attempt CPR on Roseanne after she was moved into the Capitol. There were two BWC body-worn camera videos that started with the officers pulling Roseanne into the building past the police line, Brett Boylan said, and it did show multiple officers attempting to revive Roseanne and gave CPR for about 10 to 12 minutes straight. Then they appeared to load her on some kind of mailroom cart and move her somewhere else. McBride said one thing he found especially troubling on one of the videos is that despite being unconscious during the attack, it appeared Roseanne Boylan could feel the blows to the head. When she takes that second hit to the head, watch her left arm. Her left arm straightens up and lifts off the ground, McBride said. Winchell told an Atlanta television station in 2021 that when Roseanne was struck by Officer Morris for the final time, Roseanne's nose started bleeding. In our mind, she was still alive at that point. I'm not so sure. That would probably be brain bleeding from the coming out her nasal passage because it had shattered the separation between the brain and the sinus cavities. Roseanne also suffered 3 to 4 broken ribs on each side of her chest, her father said. Those injuries could have come from repeated CPR attempts, the pressure of being under a large pile of bodies, or from the baton blows from Officer Morris. Augustine said a report on Morris's use of force has not been released to the public. He said the factors involved in police use of force are outlined in MPD's online policy updated in January 2021. Members of the Metropolitan Police Department, it reads, shall value and preserve the sanctity of human life at all times, especially when lawfully exercising the use of force. In situations where the use of force is justifying, the utmost restraint should be exercised. That's the MPD use of force policy, where they claim it was objectively reasonable for this officer to beat the life out of this woman. Brett Boylan says the family wants to know why Morris attacked Roseanne. She had a choice. That officer had a choice, Brett Boylan said. She could have helped her right there at that point in time, but she chose to grab the stick and start hitting her. I can't begin to tell you how much this enrages me. This enrages me. This enrages me. The Democrats, those bastards in Washington, D.C., promoted, they orchestrated this whole damn thing because they wanted to tarnish Trump to claim he was guilty of inciting an insurrection, which was nonsense, in order to preclude him from running again because he'd cleaned their clock and they couldn't figure out any other way to do it. Here's another story, very telling. Video. Parent shoved denied access to Pennsylvania school board meeting. This, by the way, is also from the Epoch Times. Tensions boiled over Wednesday at a Downingtown area school district board meeting when a district employee guarding the gate, the door to prevent the unmasked from entering, got into a physical altercation with a parent. The Chester County, Pennsylvania school district requires everyone attending the meeting to wear a mask. The rule is enforced with guards at the door, guards in the meeting, and police on speed dial. In early December, the state Supreme Court ruled that the State Department of Health, no longer working under an emergency order, did not have the authority to continue requiring schools to mask students. At that point, school boards could decide individually if they wanted to require masking. Many opted to end masking immediately or make it optional. But Downingtown continues requiring masking, and parents have been attending meetings for months, asking for them to change the rule. Nathan Lang, father of two, had a scarf wrapped around his head twice. It covered his mouth and nose. He figured that would be sufficient since the Department of Education website says an acceptable face covering can be made of a variety of synthetic or natural fibers, including cotton, silk, or linen, that may be secured to the head with ties, straps, loops over the ears, or is wrapped around the lower face. And it can be a scarf, bandana, T-shirt, sweatshirt, or towel. When he approached the door, Lang noticed another parent, Shannon Grady, arguing with a school employee about entering the meeting. "Are you wearing a mask?" A video shows a school employee asking Grady while the employee stands in the middle of the doorway. "No," she replied. "Then you cannot come in." Lang pulled the door open wider to get around and inside, and a shoving match erupted. In independent interviews, both Grady and Lang told the Epoch Times that the employee started shoving first. The school solicitor did not respond to requests for comments. "I took one small step, and he grabbed my arm, and then he was sort of shoving me. I pushed him back, and then he was trying to punch me. I pushed back again and said, 'Don't touch me,'" Lang said. Then the employee pulled the door shut, locked it, and called the police. Lang said he intended to go in with his scarf on, and if anyone gave him trouble about it, he would have grabbed one of the free masks located inside two sets of doors we saw behind the security guard. He had planned a 2-minute speech during public comment asking the board to end masking, but he was too distracted after the shoving incident, so he didn't speak at all. "Do people realize that right now we are starting like Germany or China activities? This shouldn't be happening. That man at the door, I don't know his life or anything, but I'm sure he's a normal person. It shows that normal people can be subverted into thinking they are doing good," Lang said. "I hope this wakes people up to show them how close we are to becoming Germany. It's kind of scary. I never thought that would happen to me just trying to attend the school board meeting on children." While Lang got into the meeting, Grady was not allowed in because she would not wear a mask. Grady filed a lawsuit against the school district in December and intended to serve papers to the board at the meeting, calling for the removal of board members who voted to keep the mask mandate in place. Some parents attended the meeting to ask for the end of masking. Others begged the board to continue masking. Melanie Lewis, mother of four, walked into the meeting without a mask and sat maskless for the entire meeting, then stood for public comment. Each speaker is allowed 2 minutes. "I told them they were basically child-abusing evil animals, and they deserve to be publicly shamed and called out," Lewis told the Epoch Times. "We're really just dealing with evil at this point, because the kind of people that are okay with children being choked and not getting enough air are the hell dancers. There's just no other way to put it. They're evil animals. They're getting off on it, basically." When her 2 minutes were up, she was told she was now a disturbance and told to leave the building. "They're not doing this for children's health," Lewis said. "They're doing this for the teachers' unions and control. Because who are they without COVID? With COVID, they have importance in the community. Who are they if this all drops? They go back to their boring lives of being nobody." The Epoch Times asked District Solicitor Guy Donatelli to point to the law giving the school authority to enforce masking children and citizens, but he did not respond to the request. I had no doubt because there is no such law giving them authority. Now just consider whether those events like those explain the following. From the Political Insider, Biden approval rating hits new low point, average of major polls hits uncharted territory. President Biden's approval rating achieved a new low light with Real Clear Politics average of all the most recent national surveys showing him drop below 40%. The average of the polling data shows the president's approval at 39.8%. An average of 54.4% of those in the major polls now say they disapprove of the job Biden is doing. The news comes as the president has been battling multiple domestic crises, including soaring inflation, soaring gas prices, and soaring numbers of illegal immigrants flooding the southern border. Breaking, here's from the Election Wizard, a tweet, Joe Biden's job approval dips below 40% for first time in Real Clear Politics average of polls, 39.8% approval, 54.4% disapproval. Let me mention Real Clear Politics is among the most accurate and reliable sources reporting on issues like this. Across the board, the president numbers in the Real Clear Politics average are a devastating warning sign for Democrats in the upcoming midterms. His approval rating is underwater as far as the eye can see. On the topic most Americans find themselves concerned with these days, the economy, only 38.3% approve, while 56.3% disapprove. It would seem the White House spin that the administration is creating jobs at record rates is falling on deaf ears, especially when Americans on a daily basis are paying higher prices for gas to use their vehicles to get to a grocery store at which they will pay higher prices for food. With both the House and Senate very narrowly split between the two parties entering the 2022 election with a president whose job approval at this level carries catastrophic implications for the Democrats, he adds. On the matter of the direction of the country, the Real Clear Politics average shows only 27.6% of Americans think we're moving in the right direction. 65.1% believe we're on the wrong track. Another tweet, Eddie Zipper. Among independents, 48% would rather see Republicans in control of Congress versus 39% who would rather see Democrats in control. Biden approval among independents at 34%. 55% of independents disapprove of the job he's doing. 33% strongly disapproved. Exactly 1 year ago today, Biden's approval rating in the Real Clear Politics average was nearly a reversal of the numbers he's seen today. On February 10, 2021, his approval sat at 54.4% positive, 36.9% negative. That is plus 17.5% to where it is now, minus 14.6. A 32.1% free fall in just 1 year's time. With headlines like these, it's hard to imagine why Americans just don't appreciate President Biden more than they do. Some headlines. Gas prices hit their highest level in 8 years. Here's what's driving the surge. Inflation likely accelerated in January to another 40-year high. Here's why grocery stores are struggling to stock their empty shelves. Inflation rate hit 7 year over year, driving real wages down. Delving further into the numbers, we see that President Biden's approval rating is worse when it comes to foreign policy, 37.2% approval to 53% disapproval, and slightly better but still underwater when it comes to handling a pandemic, which he promised to shut down, 43.6% approval to 52.0% disapproval. Unless we forget that this is an average of all major polls, so the White House and Jen Psaki can't attempt to spin this as an outlier as they have in the past. These poll numbers have to be nothing short of terrifying based on their implications, not only for the 2024 presidential election, but for the more immediate upcoming midterms. Our estimate as to where things stand, relying on the more reliable pollsters and data, this is a tweet from Pollwatch, find approval 37 to 39%. Congressional genetic ballot, Republicans plus 6. Trump versus Biden, Trump plus 6. Country wrong direction, 65 to 68%. In our increasingly polarized and nationalized politics, the single most determinative factor in midterm outcomes is a president's job approval, writes Sean Trent, senior elections analyst at Real Clear Politics. They are in trouble. The headline in the Wisconsin State Journal, the very top headline, inflation hits 40-year high. Jobless claims trend down after falling for third straight week. This is very, very bad. The Democrats are in terrible, terrible shape, and it's not going to get any better prior to the midterms, although they're going to make desperate efforts to do so, an issue to which I shall return right after our break, coming right up. But just think about it. This is the United States. This is America. And you have police officers beating Americans who are lying unconscious on the steps of the Capitol of the United States because they support a different political candidate, beating her to death. And you haven't heard anything about this. You've heard all about the alleged shooting of Ashley Babbitt, which I'm convinced was staged. We have a 21-minute video about what happened during the intrusion, not an insurrection, the intrusion, where the Federalist has explained there was no incitement in the first place, which is to encourage imminent lawless activity. My God, he was a mile and a half away. Couldn't have been imminent. He was telling people to act peacefully. He wasn't inciting anything. Certainly not inciting violence, and an insurrection requires an attempt to overthrow the government. No one participating had the least interest in overthrowing the government. More when we return after this break.
Take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? that the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities, and that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs, but there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, as I mentioned before the break, the Wisconsin State Journal lead story today, inflation hits 40-year high, included below it a photograph of border access denied with a following headline. And this is among the very first stories I've seen about related to the trucker strike. In the Wisconsin State Journal, certainly I've seen nothing on the front page before. Border access denied. Truckers and supporters blocked the access leading from the Ambassador Bridge linking Detroit and Windsor during continued protests against COVID-19 vaccine mandates and restrictions in Windsor, Ontario on Thursday. The blockade forced auto plants in both countries to shut down or scale back production for a time. Now, they're going to give this a tremendously negative slant, right? Like these protesters are harming the economy. But the point is, these are peaceful protesters who are taking actions that they feel they have no choice but to adopt as long as they remain peaceful in protest against the tyrannical mandates imposed by, in this instance, Justin Trudeau, the premier of Canada, who, by the way, in his most recent appearance before the Canadian Parliament, was booed. He was publicly booed, and he turned tail and ran. He's now at some undisclosed location, just hiding, cowering in fear. This is just stunning. Well, I frequently mention how excellent is Tucker Carlson in reporting on issues like these. While Tucker is still, in my opinion, naive about large-scale conspiracies like JFK and 9/11. He's simply superb on these other issues and is by far head and shoulders better than any alternative on the mainstream or cable network. It is, his is, the number one rated cable show. Here's a perfect example why. This is Tucker's opening monologue from last night. Catch this.
Good evening and welcome to Tucker Carlson Tonight. When Democratic politicians across this country all of a sudden started to pull back their mask mandates, they did it virtually overnight, and of course they did it in unison, we naturally assumed that new polling had to be behind it. Someone at the DNC must have seen terrifying public opinion numbers and decided to abandon Project Quarantine before the midterm elections. That made sense to us. We explained that theory in the show last night. We still think it's probably pretty true. But it's also clear as of tonight that there is another explanation for this. Democrats in this country are looking north to their friends in the ruling party of Canada, and what they see there scares them. Canada's working class has finally rebelled after years of relentless abuse. Truck drivers are threatening to topple Justin Trudeau's creepy little government with their big rigs. And they may succeed, actually. The protests against Justin Trudeau's vaccine mandates have been far more effective than anyone in charge imagined. For Democrats in the United States, that's a pretty obvious lesson. Over the past 48 hours, Canadian truckers have blocked the major trade routes between their country and ours. Last night, farmers driving heavy agricultural equipment shut down the highways at the Manitoba border with the United States. You're seeing footage now from the town of Emerson, Manitoba. 1,100 miles away, a similar scene on the border of Ontario in the United States. Green tractors with Canadian flags lining the highway in protest. But the most meaningful blockade of all is taking place right now on the Ambassador Bridge. That's the privately owned span that connects Detroit to Windsor, Ontario. If you live in the upper Midwest, you know it well. A quarter of all the trade between the United States and Canada, one another's biggest trading partners, that's billions of dollars, comes across that bridge. As Fox's Molly Line is reporting from Ottawa, that bridge is now completely shut down.
We're Canadian, and we want to be free Canadians.
Increasing concerns spreading through Canada and now the U.S. as the Freedom Convoy threatens trade along the border. Truckers blocking traffic at the Ambassador Bridge connecting Detroit and Ontario. A second crossing linking Alberta and Montana also shut down by protesters calling for an end to all COVID restrictions and vaccine mandates.
We want freedom, freedom of all mandates, and that's what we're fighting for.
The Ambassador Bridge is the busiest international crossing in North America, carrying 25% of all trade between Canada and the U.S.
We want freedom, the truckers are saying, freedom from mandates. It's a very straightforward ask, but so far the truckers don't have that freedom, and so their blockade continues. So far, that blockade has forced the Ford Motor Company to shut down one of its manufacturing plants and to operate another plant with a skeleton crew. Toyota says it won't be able to manufacture vehicles in Ontario for the rest of the week. General Motors has canceled multiple shifts at its plant in Lansing, Michigan, due to part shortages. So this protest is less than a week old, and already it is causing deep pain to at least one global industry. It's hard to overstate the historical significance of what we're watching right here. The Canadian trucker convoy is the single most successful human rights protest in a generation. If nothing else, it has been a very useful reminder to our entitled ruling class that working class men can be pushed, but only so far. When they push back, it hurts. It turns out that truck drivers are more important to a country's future than, say, diversity consultants or even MSNBC contributors. Who knew? The White House has no interest in knowing. According to the Associated Press tonight, the Biden administration is, quote, urging the Trudeau government to, quote, use its federal powers to stop this protest, to end the truckers' protest. In other words, crush them by force. Politico is reporting that Biden officials are coordinating with Canadian authorities to, quote, establish alternate traffic routes around the protesters. That's Scranton Joe, the pro-union guy, shutting down a labor action. Pete Buttigieg is the completely incompetent transportation secretary in this country. Apparently, he's in charge of this effort. What Mayor Pete does not realize is it's not so easy. Truck drivers know a lot more about roads than McKinsey consultants do. An alternative border crossing in Alberta, for example, has already been totally shut down. They thought of that already, Mayor Pete. The Blue Water Bridge, which connects Ontario to Port Huron, Michigan, has been reporting delays tonight of nearly 5 hours. Now, there is an obvious way to fix this problem. Matthew Maroon, who's the owner of the Ambassador Bridge into Michigan, just spelled it out for Justin Trudeau, who's not terribly bright. End the vaccine mandates and the bridge reopens. It's not hard. But Justin Trudeau won't. And he's decided he doesn't have to, because the truckers, as he's explained, have no legitimate complaint. They're racists, so we're not required to listen to them. Here is Trudeau in the Canadian Parliament on Monday.
The people of Ottawa don't deserve to be harassed in their own neighborhoods. They don't deserve to be confronted with the inherent violence of a swastika flying on a street corner, or a Confederate flag, or the insults and jeers just because they're wearing a mask. That's not who Canada, who Canadians are.
Oh, so they're not even really Canadians. They're Nazis. So you don't have to hear anything they say. They don't even belong here. Maybe we'll intern them or expel them. Trudeau state broadcasters had been repeating these lies over and over and over again for maximum effect. Pravda parroting Brezhnev. That's what they do. What's striking, however, is that the media in our country claim to be independent, but they've been doing the very same thing. Watch.
Some of the organizers of this protest, which, as I mentioned, started more than a week ago, they do want to overthrow the government.
Canadian officials calling the situation a, quote, nationwide insurrection.
The police chief says COVID protests are a, quote, nationwide insurrection driven by madness.
A nationwide insurrection driven by madness. And just think of the language. I know it sounds familiar to you, right? A threat to democracy, an insurrection, sedition.
The police say that they are under-resourced and they are overwhelmed. They have said that this city is under siege.
It's not just truckers. There's a lot of, I've heard there's QAnon supporters in the crowd. Residents that I have spoken to who say they feel terrorized, intimidated.
It's a cult.
There are QAnon supporters in the crowd. It's a cult. They're Nazis and they're crazy. Insurrectionists on the Edmund Pettus Bridge. Imagine. Now, they're using these smears because typically they work. Just dismiss these people. Don't listen to them. They didn't go to college. But what Justin Trudeau apparently didn't count on is that a handful of independent journalists are committing journalism inside Canada. And a free press works. That's why we have it. Or did. So instead of repeating state-mandated talking points like their journalists do and the morons in our press corps do, these independent reporters have been broadcasting hours-long interviews with the truckers themselves in their cabs, totally unfiltered, so you can decide what you think. You can actually make your own judgment about reality. So you watch these streams for just a few minutes, and you realize that these truckers, whatever their faults may be, are far less odious and much harder working than the journalists and the politicians who call them Nazis. Here's one 24-year-old protester who saved up and bought his own truck. He's an owner-operator now. He's losing hundreds of dollars every day because he's no longer working, but he says it's worth it because he's more concerned about human rights than about his own paycheck. You decide.
I agree with freedom of choice. So people should be, if you want to wear a diaper over your face, then go ahead, you know. You can wear a face diaper if you want, but why should I, because of your fear, I got to wear that garbage on my face, you know. Been doing that for 2 years. They said 2 weeks, but it's turned into 2 years, so enough is enough.
Yeah, the voice of the working man there. You know how we know he's a Nazi? Because he used the word freedom. Now, that footage, of course, was not shot by the CBC, which is Canadian state media, the most dishonest of all. It was from a live stream on the YouTube channel Zot. It was filmed just after midnight this morning. Zot is run by a man you've never heard of called Matt Garcia. Garcia is one of a handful of independent YouTube channel operators who are doing what legacy media refuses to do anywhere, ever, anymore. Garcia actually talks to people. He reports. He's not paid to do this. He's doing it because nobody else will do it. You should watch it. It's compelling because you can hear people speak and you can decide what you think about what they have to say. Here's another protester that Garcia spoke to in the streets of Ottawa. This man says that Justin Trudeau's authoritarian behavior reminds him of the Ayatollahs in the country he left, which is Iran. Watch.
I'm from Iran, and I am proud to be between the freedom-loving Canadian patriots.
Are you doing Ottawa?
No, I came here from Toronto.
Oh, yeah.
I did a speech on the stage, and I lost my freedom once in Iran by the Ayatollahs, by the Mullahs. I don't want to lose my freedom again in Canada.
So what's the answer to him? Is he in QAnon? Is he a Nazi? Is he a white supremacist? Canada's leaders have no response whatsoever. They just accuse all these people of bigotry, and then they turn away. The protesters are so immoral, we have no obligation to listen to them, because democracy. We all lose when they do that, because actually the truckers do have something to say. And some of them are pretty articulate. Some of them are even eloquent about what they want. So as a public service, we thought you might like to hear it. Here it is.
Nothing extreme about wanting people to be able to make their own decisions in their home that is the best decision for their families. There's nothing extreme about that.
No, that's not extreme. If you want to see extremism, take a close look at how Canada's ruling class is responding to these decidedly non-extreme protests. Authorities in Canada are now stealing firewood from protesters in sub-zero temperatures. You're seeing that theft on your screen right now. We're not making it up. Now, that wood is not being used in a crime. They're not using it to rob liquor stores. The protesters are using the wood to keep from freezing to death in February. But Trudeau's enforcers just took it from him. Then they also seized fuel, which the truckers were using to keep from dying in their cabs overnight. Watch.
You take those cans off of that truck. Is that your property?
It is now.
It is now. So you have the right to take gas cans off of a trucker's truck. Is that correct? It is correct. According to what? Aiding and abetting criminal? A criminal offense. So now when you have gas cans on your truck, it's a criminal offense.
This guy's name's Trudeau.
So let's say you were on American television, or you worked at the Brookings Institution, or the Atlantic Council, or you were Liz Cheney, or any one of the many people who lecture you every day about democracy. What would you make of that exchange? Now, you may not like the guy's beard, or you may not like who he voted for, but what's your answer to him? If police are breaking the law by enforcing an order from the guy who runs the country, is that a democracy? No, it's not. It's not a free country. It's a very scary place. And that's exactly what Canada has become under Justin Trudeau. We'll play just one more clip. There are a lot of these, but we're not going to drag it out. You see the point. Watch this one. These are police acting under Justin Trudeau's orders, dragging an elderly man to jail and hurting him along the way. Why? Because he dared to honk his horn in support of the truckers.
What's your name and badge number?
Yeah, you're a soldier.
Look, they're hurting an old man, a Canadian citizen. It's communism. This is communism. He's scared. Communist.
You stand with the communist government.
Call your police chief. He'll back you up.
Call the police.
Call your police chief. Arrested an old man. Shame on you. Shame on you.
They hurt him too. Look up his bruises on the internet. So in the end, Canadians are nice people. The cliche is true. And they're seeing some of this. It's being hidden from them on their state media, but it's all on the internet. So Justin Trudeau is attacking human rights and attacking humans. And that ultimately is bound to provoke a backlash. And it is. The province of Alberta just announced it is lifting its COVID restrictions and scrapping its vaccine passport system completely. Saskatchewan, Quebec, Prince Edward Island have done the same. They're getting rid of most of their COVID restrictions in the face of this, in response to this. When you go too far, as Ceausescu learned, people turn against you. It was just a few days ago that a guy called Jagmeet Singh, he's the leader of Canada's supposedly pro-worker NDP party, smeared the truckers as racists. Of course, quote, those that claim the superiority of the white bloodline. What a pig. It's always the same line. But yesterday, even Jagmeet Singh finally realized the same old slander doesn't work anymore. So he went to plan B. He went for a federal plan to, quote, exit the pandemic. In other words, he caved in the face of principled human rights protests. That's how that works. Several members of Justin Trudeau's own Liberal Party are now rebuking Justin Trudeau. One of those lawmakers, a member of parliament called Joelle Lightbound, described Justin Trudeau's vaccine mandates as, quote, an attempt to wedge, to divide, and to stigmatize. I fear that this politicization of the pandemic risks undermining the public's trust in our public health institutions. Oh, you think? Yeah. We in America know a little bit about that. Who will trust a doctor when the smoke settles from corona? Seriously. But on a political level, anyone watching this understands just how profound the betrayal is. The betrayal, both in Canada and in the United States. Self-described liberals, the ones who've lectured you for decades about the nobility of organized labor, are now taking the side of management, of strike breakers over striking workers. They're applauding like Mr. Burns on The Simpsons as cops harass and abuse strikers and their families. Pretty soon they'll be demanding scabs, literally, if they aren't already. It's so deeply revealing. Scratch a liberal and you'll find a fascist. Today on Twitter, an Obama DHS official called Juliet Kayyem called for violence against the truckers. Slash their tires, she demanded. But don't stop there. Quote, cancel their insurance, suspend their driver's licenses, prohibit any future regulatory certification for truckers, etc. Have we learned nothing, fellow members of the ruling class? These things fester when there are no consequences. Crush them before they get big ideas. Now, Juliet Kayyem is a nasty little fascist, and of course she's a CNN contributor too. Of course she is. But we will concede Juliet Kayyem is right about one thing. These things do fester. When you ignore the population's legitimate concerns for long enough, when you dismiss your own citizens as racists and conspiracy nuts and try and shut them down for long enough, at some point they are apt to revolt. Once people realize they're citizens, not serfs, you can't really know where things go from there. And in that vein, tonight, a group of American truckers announced they will begin a nationwide truck convoy in this country starting next month in protest against Joe Biden's vaccine mandates. That rally will begin in Southern California on March 5th, and then it will progress eastward by truck to Washington, D.C., a city they still perhaps naively assume is the capital of their country. How does the supposedly pro-union White House feel about this? They're completely panicked. Working class people expressing their opinions, that's not allowed. So Joe Biden, taking a page from Justin Trudeau, his friend to the north, has already set the Department of Homeland Security to work to shut them down. We'll be covering that in some detail. There is some drama ahead.
Hey, Sean Hannity here. Hey, click here to subscribe.
Let me just say how brilliant Tucker has been here. And while it may be, it should have struck me earlier, I think I've now figured out how Biden is governing and why everything he's doing satisfies the following description coming from Senator Ron Johnson. Every decision Biden has made has weakened America. On Wednesday, Republican Senator Ron Johnson ripped into President Biden saying he was weakening America with every move he made. Johnson, who recently announced he's running for re-election in Wisconsin, tore the Biden record to shreds during an interview on Fox Business Network's Mornings with Maria Bartiromo, which is a simply excellent show. Johnson went through a laundry list of problems that have cropped up in just 1 year of Biden's presidency. The first day or two in office, what did he do? Johnson asked. He canceled the XL pipeline. He relaxed sanctions on the Nord Stream 2 pipeline, which was a clear signal to Putin that we're going to be weak. We're going to let you walk all over us. Johnson also flipped the script using a common left-wing talking point used against President Trump by turning it on Biden. I continue to wonder to what extent that President Biden is compromised. Just about every action he has taken as president has weakened America. He opens the border. We have an unbelievable out-of-control flow of illegal immigrants, out-of-control deficit spending, inflation setting a 40-year high, the embarrassing and dangerous surrender in Afghanistan. This is weakness. This is real weakness. He is weakening America. The senator added, our enemies perceive that. They're noticing that. They're becoming more aggressive. They're taking advantage of the situation. Johnson then gave an analysis of our current foreign affairs. Russia is surrounding Ukraine. China is overflying Taiwan. Iran is getting more active in Yemen. North Korea is testing new weapons. This is across the board. The bad actors around the world are perceiving our weakness when America is not strong. And I agree with President Reagan. You achieve peace through strength. But that strength starts with economic strength, and President Biden is weakening our economy, weakening our military, weakening America. Let me just add, before time run, here we go. Johnson had, by the way, with his COVID-19, a second opinion, elaborated on the devastating effects that have come from the Department of Defense review of data, actually, because of the billing information, we have accurate data in this case with stunning increases in the numbers. But a key point I want to make here as I turn to that issue is the following. When Kamala Harris was selected as vice president, it wasn't through a democratic process. It wasn't even by the DNC. It was by the son, Alexander Soros, the son of George Soros. Anyone who knows the history of George Soros understands George Soros is still on his quest to destroy America. That's his objective. That's his goal. George Soros is 89 years old, but by gosh, before he dies, he's going to see to the internal destruction of America. I don't know why it hadn't crossed my mind before. But if you view Joe Biden as merely a sock puppet for George Soros, if you understand George Soros is de facto the president of the United States in this administration, then all the pieces fall into place. All the massive opening the door, vaccinating the military, you know, giving up the enforcement of laws, defunding the police, letting criminals back out, turning over, not imposing bail as racist, cutting up the supply line. These are all efforts that George Soros would adopt to destroy America. And what this tells me is the Democratic Party is bought and sold by George Soros. He completely controls everything going on here, including the violation of the Constitution, which is taking place on a daily basis with the Biden administration. They don't care. Violating the Constitution, saying an example of lawlessness is perfect for them because the whole objective is to take down America. How could you be more effective than by opening the borders and defunding the police and allowing lawlessness to run rampant with a stunning number of crimes taking place across the nation is just mind-boggling. I say again, I don't know why it took me until now to realize George Soros controls the Democratic Party. He, Joe Biden, is his mouthpiece. He, his own son, he himself picked Kamala Harris. This is a terrible plight we're in. Once you understand, we're being governed by George Soros and all the pieces fall into place. And when we return after the break, I'll just remind you of all of the discoveries that Ron Johnson has been reporting with his magnificent COVID-19 A Second Opinion. Stand by. We'll be right back.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Good evening. tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio. 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 Radio.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job? That Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
By the way, I'm going to open the phone lines early today for your thoughts about these matters. 540-352-4452. 540-352-4452. Mitchell will field your call and let me know, and I'll get you on the air. Senator Johnson included in a letter he sent to the Department of Defense the following medical conditions presented by the attorney Thomas Renz, who'd reviewed the Department of Defense data, which revealed the following effects of the vax. Hypertension, 2,181% increase. Diseases of the nervous system, 1,048% increase. Malignant neoplasms of the esophagus, that would be esophageal cancer, 894% increase. Multiple sclerosis, 680% increase. Malignant neoplasms of digestive organs, this would be like cancer of the digestive tract, 624% increase. Guillain-Barré syndrome, 551% increase. Breast cancer, 487% increase. Demyelinating, 487% increase. Malignant neoplasms of thyroid and other endocrine glands, thyroid cancer, 474% increase. Female infertility, 472% increase. Pulmonary embolism, 468% increase. Migraines, 452% increase. Ovarian dysfunction, 437% increase. Testicular cancer, 367% increase. Tachycardia, 202% increase. These are stunning numbers. At the end of his letter, Senator Johnson asked Secretary Austin the following questions. Is DOD aware of increases in registered diagnoses of miscarriages, cancer, or other medical conditions? in their own medical record in 2021 compared to the five-year average from 2016 to 2020? If so, please explain what action DOD has taken to investigate the root cause for the increases in these diagnoses. Have registered diagnoses of myocarditis in their database been removed from January 2021 to December 2021? If so, please explain why and when this information was removed and identify who removed it and why. I mean, this guy is like fighting a one-man battle. He's heroic. So, of course, they're doing everything they can to trash Ron Johnson right here in Wisconsin. Meanwhile, dozens of lawmakers call on Joe Biden to immediately undergo cognitive tests. Something isn't right. In a letter noting that President Biden's mental decline and forgetfulness have become more apparent over the past 2 years, a group of House Republicans is calling upon the leader of the free world to see whether he's mentally up for the job, as though there were any doubt. The letter from Republican Ronnie Jackson of Texas, signed by 37 of his colleagues, calls upon Biden 79 to take a cognitive test, as did former President Donald Trump, who, as we all know, passed with flying colors. In January, Biden said he had no idea why Americans doubt his competency after a poll was cited in which 48% of those surveyed doubted the president's mental capacity. Since then, Biden has had some troubling appearances, including one this month at Ironworkers Local 5 in Upper Marlboro, Maryland. I don't want to get going because I keep you here too long, because you know all what I'm about to, what I've said, and you know what I've done, and you know what we're doing, and I know what you're doing, he said. Here, even Lou Dobbs has tweeted, there are few mental or physical acts that the president performs normally. Republicans urge Biden to take cognitive tests, say his mental decline has become more apparent. Lou Dobbs. My colleagues and I are asking President Biden to immediately undergo a formal cognitive screening exam, such as a Montreal cognitive assessment, Johnson said, as a former physician to three presidents of the United States. I know what it takes mentally and physically to execute the duties of commander-in-chief and head of state, continued Jackson, who was a White House doctor in former President George W. Bush, Barack Obama, and Trump administrations. Joe Biden has continually proven to me and to the world that something isn't right. The American people deserve to have absolute confidence in their president's cognitive ability. Jackson's letter said mental fitness is not a partisan issue. When I discussed taking a cognitive test with President Trump, he was eager to assure the American people and to put the fake news media story to bed, Jackson said, indicating that a test could be important to identify early stages of cognitive impairment. Why won't President Biden do the same? We can only assume the worst if he doesn't submit to the same standard his own party demanded in the last administration. The precedent has been set. The letter to Biden, in which the Republicans told the president they're worried about your mental abilities, listed the lawmakers' concern. While you underwent your annual physical exam on November 19, 2021, you either did not have a cognitive test, or those results were withheld from the public, the letter said. The Alzheimer's Association lists changes in mood and personality, including more easily upset, as one of 10 signs of mental decline, the letter continued. You displayed this type of mood change during the cabinet meeting on January 24, 2022, when you apparently did not know your microphone was on. After finishing your opening remarks, and you called a White House reporter a stupid son of a bee in response to questions he asked on inflation. Juanita Broderick has tweeted, everyone except the Democrats wants Biden to take a cognitive test. They know, and they know we know. I mean, this is serious stuff. Meanwhile, John Rappaport has spoken up. Spotify must remove all liberals from its platform, the obvious solution to the Joe Rogan blow-up. Obviously, this is a touch of satire, but he really has a point. Humor has to be rooted in reality. I keep solving these thorny problems. I really should get paid for the work. In this case, I need to define liberal. It's anyone who wants to censor free speech. Simple. Spotify needs to issue a statement to its contracted contributors. You have 48 hours to tell us whether you favor censoring free speech. If you do favor that policy, we're cutting you loose. You're a menace. If you claim you stand for free speech, but later prove by word or action that you're lying, we'll cut you loose and find some ground to sue you. Right away, the Joe Rogan problem disappears. The wrangle with Neil Young, Joni Mitchell, and other liberals who want Rogan banned is over. Spotify offloads those two aging singers. Then to prove they mean business, Spotify creates special sections of content. For example, the Holocaust archive. This is for commentators who assert the Holocaust never happened. Hitler was a genius and a prophet of salvation, and the Jews run the world. Then you have another section for pundits who claim Trump is Hitler, that he was foiled from declaring martial law and enlisting the army to put all minorities into concentration camps, and came close to destroying the reliable, trusted network news service. Here's one more section. This is a mixed bag. People argue that white people are devils. The ills of American society all stem from systemic racism, while others claim black people are born with lower IQs than whites, and selling and buying slaves in Africa was widespread before the white men even showed up, etc. Then Spotify stands back and waits, and nothing happens, except a hurricane on social media, in the press, and in the halls of government bloviation. Otherwise, people go about their lives. Free speech is confirmed as a non-threat to the safety and security of the nation. We have to deal with a special case of free speech, COVID misinformation, because here the charge is allowing people to contradict the official party line automatically puts all our lives in danger. The ranks of vaccine refusers grow, living unvaccinated out in the open without masks, gathering in large groups spreads the deadly virus. So Spotify hosts a free live stream event for the world audience, a 6-month, every day, all day discussion from all quarters. Government scientists, dissenting scientists, vaxxers, anti-vaxxers, semi-vaxxers, WHO, CDC reps, constitutional lawyers, mainstream reporters, independent reporters, Gauchy Fates, Rand Paul, Scott Atlas, etc. The question under discussion, is the government COVID policy effective? Air it out. Air it all out. Let the chips fall where they may. If governments can launch a global open-air clinical trial of an experimental RNA vaccine involving 8 billion people in order to see what happens, then Spotify can host a continuous demonstration of free speech about COVID, and we can see what happens. Open the doors, open the windows, let people speak. Run the experiment. Here's a clip, another clip, much shorter. The revolution will not be televised. Except I can't get it to play. Meanwhile, it's no mystery. The promotion of censorship is based on fear. The inducement of puddling and huddling fear of what will happen if we allow the First Amendment to stand. Here's another great idea. I'm just giving away these ideas to Spotify for nothing. The platform hosts an event called Meta Fear. This one features a full spectrum of speakers who claim or reject the notion that free speech has, in fact, directly incited criminal violence. Why is this event necessary? Because after Spotify breaks out of the massive free speech campaign I've described above, the government will surely come in behind that and claim the consequences have been awful and tragic. They always play that card. Freedom is a threat to our free way of life. at the Met if you're a van. The Department of Homeland Security can step up and sprinkle the air with vague generalizations about elevated terrorism threats stemming from online misinformation inciting violent anti-government groups. And other speakers can demand specifics and offer counter-narratives. I would certainly put in my two cents. You guys at Homeland Security have to invent dire threats to the nation. If you don't, you have no reason to hold down your jobs and collect your paychecks. If you say, well, another week has just gone by and nothing happened, you're in trouble. At the MetaFear event, you DHS guys also need to explain why you feature certain types of threat warnings and ignore others. Do you have a list of protected terrorist groups? Do you have a list of other groups who aren't threatening anybody, but you're pretending they are? Well, this wraps up my business plan for rescuing Spotify. I hereby commission for other elite platforms to deploy it as well. In lieu of paying my usual fee of $1 billion, you can make a donation to the Canadian Truckers. And remember that someone way back there said, it still applies today, censorship of the people, by the people, and for the people is an idea whose time has come. If you're a complete idiot, then Spotify stands back and waits, and nothing happens. This guy's completely brilliant. Here's another disturbing story of why the Democrats are going to go down big time in the midterms, of which I have no serious doubt whatsoever. Meanwhile, let me make sure Mitchell will let me know if anyone calls in. Remember, 540-352-4452, 540-352-4452. Get this. Eighth grade sex ed handout asked students to pick pizza toppings for sexual likes and dislikes. Olives meant giving oral. Officials say it was posted by mistake. By mistake. By mistake. Why do there exist such a program anyway? Why? How could there have a sex ed handout that had this in any case? What was it doing even existing? Eighth grade students in Connecticut were given a sex ed assignment asking them to pick pizza toppings, describing their sexual likes and dislikes. My God, when I was in the eighth grade, I didn't have the foggiest idea of anything about sex. For example, Olive stood for giving oral, according to Parents Defending Education, which said parents from Enfield Public Schools reached out to it about the issue. District officials said the assignment was posted by mistake. What are the details? Now that you know this metaphor for sex, let's explore your preferences. Draw and color your favorite type of pizza. This assignment, which includes an image of an empty pizza dough round, instructed students. What's your favorite style of pizza, your favorite toppings? What are your pizza no-nos? Now mirror these preferences in relation to sex, he continued. Here are some example likes. Cheese equals kissing. Olives equals giving oral. What happened next? Parents arrived in droves for Tuesday night's Enfield School Board meeting, and the pizza assignment was discussed. Superintendent Chris Dizek told the crowd the assignment was posted by accident, the outlet said. The simple truth is it was a mistake. I know there are some who may not believe that. I know there are some who don't necessarily want that answer. But this is a longtime great staff member. There was no hidden agenda. There was no secret cabal to indoctrinate kids on something. They sent the wrong document. None of us are happy that it happened. And no one feels worse than a person who did it. I owe it to that person to stand up here and tell them, I've got your back on this one. I'm moving on for them and for the 5,000 kids we've got to worry about. But what I ask is, why did this assignment even exist? How can it be posted by mistake? Obviously, it existed. The question becomes why. This is insulting beyond belief. For those who don't know the background about Pizzagate as the American franchise of Pedocate, if you go to my blog, jamesfetzer.org, go to the one, JimTheConspiracyGuy.com, the 65 shows, where between March of 2020 and November of 2020, I did 65 shows on a website called JimTheConspiracyGuy.com. They were excellent programs, but I got a small viewing audience and I couldn't afford the rent. So I ceased paying for something I couldn't afford and transferred the 65 shows to my blog, where you can find them now. If you scroll down, Pizzagate, I think, is like 10 or 12 or whatever of the 65 shows. Among those, you'll discover that one of the reasons the Democrats were terrified by the WikiLeaks revelations that they sought to blame on Russia to distract from their content was the following. Obama spent about $65,000 flying in pizza dogs from Chicago for a private party at the White House. That was Fred Burton via WikiLeaks. This is a email that was included in those downloaded from the DNC server, which appears to have been done by Seth Rich, where our nation's leading cybersecurity expert Bill Binney determined that the rate at which the download had occurred was much too fast to be from distant Russian hacking, and that it was done in the Eastern time zone. So here you have Seth Rich, who wound up being murdered for having exposed where he was a Bernie Sanders supporter and where he was upset about Debbie Wasserman Schultz transferring 13 primaries that Bernie had won into Hillary's column to guarantee that she would be the nominee of the Democratic Party. He downloaded and transferred them to Julian Assange, who published. Now, think about it. Obama sent about $65,000 flying in pizza dogs from Chicago for a private party at the White House. This doesn't make any sense literally interpreted for several reasons. First of all, a White House will not accept food from outside sources to circumvent the risk of poisoning. Number two, real pizza and hot dogs would have been inedible, unpalatable. Check your mute your mic until I bring you in. Mitchell, if he can't mute his mic, I'm not going to take him. Listen, Obama spent about $65,000 flying in pizza and hot dogs from Chicago. Number one, the White House doesn't accept any pizza or any food from outside sources to circumvent the risk of a poisoning. Number two, actual pizza or hot dogs flown in from Chicago would be inedible by the time they reach the White House. But here we have the explanation as I lay it out in the Pizzagate explanation tour de force. But brace yourself if you're going to watch it. You need a strong stomach. In the language of pedophiles, a hot dog is a little boy. Pizza is a little girl. Or more specifically, a hot dog is a boy, pizza is a girl, cheese is a little girl, pasta is a little boy, ice cream, a male prostitute, walnut or nuts, a person of color, map is semen, sauce, an orgy. This is all disgusting beyond belief. What this really means is that Barack Obama spent $65,000 in taxpayer dollars to fly little boys and little girls in from Chicago for a private party at the White House. It's all there in WikiLeaks and the revelations if you want to get up to speed on Pizzagate, which, of course, the mainstream denies is real. That's supposed to be an urban legend. Just check it out. You are going to be appalled. Meanwhile, we have a first caller here from the 619 area code. Give us your first name and state and join the conversation, 619.
Yes, this is Dave from California, longtime listener, first-time caller.
Excellent, Dave. Okay, please share your thoughts.
Jim, this is Dave Scorpio. How you doing?
Oh, Scorpio. I love having you call in, Scorpio. Yeah. We do miss you, my friend. I know how busy you are. Yeah, give us your thoughts, Scorpio. I'm delighted to have you here.
Well, Jim, I'm listening to your show as I'm working, and, great show as always. And I just wanted to offer a couple observations. You know, Tucker Carlson is getting dangerously close to being an anti-Semite because he's starting not to believe the narrative of the evil white supremacists and the Nazis and the guys carrying Confederate flags going to come get you. So that's part of the, you know, the narrative we're supposed to all believe in. If you don't believe it, you're an anti-Semite. So I expect him to be accused of that very soon. But, Jim, I think, you know, we're in a watershed moment right now where the entire narrative that the mainstream media or the what I call the enemy war footage, the enemy war transmissions known as the mainstream media, their entire narrative is falling apart on all fronts, not just COVID. This whole Russia threat in Ukraine, all of it is simply falling apart. And so I think, you know, people like yourself and everyone else at Revolution Radio and other platforms have made a difference. And, you know, I think.
Scorpio, are you still there? Can we get him back, Mitchell? I'm just delighted to have Scorpio calling in. Yeah, I'm sure he's going to call right back. I'm particularly keen to get his assessment of whether he agrees that Joe Biden is merely a sock puppet for George Soros, because it seems to me this explains everything. I thought it was so damn peculiar when Alexander Soros picked the vice president of the United States and asked who it would be. Yeah, Scorpio, please do continue.
I'm not sure where I cut off, but I think
you were saying everything is falling apart on every front. You know, you were going through an inventory of the areas in which the official narrative is coming apart at the seams.
Yes, it absolutely is coming apart. It's unraveling like a cheap sweater. And I think this is a watershed moment for all of us to capitalize on and keep pushing forward with some real information. And, you know, the other thing I'd like to add is I thought your observation about George Soros is very interesting. And, of course, you know, I think it's accurate to a degree, but I do think George Soros is sort of a front man for, you know, the banking cabal. The people that are above Soros like to hide in the shadows. So he's their point man, the guy that they put a public face on. But I think you're right. It just shows the incredible influence, a foreign parasitic influence from outside the country that truly is trying to steer America in the wrong direction and destroy it. I completely agree with you.
Oh, Scorpio, I agree 100%. I think there's a convergence here between the Rothschild banking empire and the Democratic Party and George Soros, that they sold out to Soros. He guaranteed he'd assist them in winning the election. Scorpio, stand by. I want to return to you after this break. We'll be right back.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio, Radio, Radio.
join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job? That Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and freedomslips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, Scorpio, as Tucker was explaining, we've had the governors of like 11 blue states simultaneously relieve their mask mandates and other forms of pandemic constraints. It's obviously a desperate move to try to salvage some ground before the midterm. I'm convinced it's too little, it's too late, but it's a rather stunning development. And we're now finding these experts who have been touting, you know, advocating for the mandates now immediately reversing themselves and saying, maybe we've been overdoing it. It's time, you know, that we're coping so well with this that we can let up. Where I'm convinced that all this is just laying the groundwork for Biden and his State of the Union on the 1st of March to declare that the pandemic is over and declare himself to be the man who vanquished the virus. That's what I think is coming. He's going to emulate Boris Johnson, who actually did a bit of grandstanding, beat him to the punch. But that's what I see coming. Do you share that thought?
Oh, yeah, I think it's a good observation. I don't think he has a whole lot of choice. You know, as I stated earlier, the whole narrative is just coming apart. And so they have to do a retreat here. They don't have any choice. It's funny how, you know, just a week ago, you know, the hospitals were overwhelmed with COVID patients and the bodies are stacking up on the sidewalks like firewood. And all of a sudden, what, a week later now, oh, the pandemic's over. It's because there's too much resistance and too many people understand that they've been played. And, you know, so I don't think they have a whole lot of choice. But also, let's not forget that they've already, you know, vaccinated, if that's what you want to call it, something around 200 million people allegedly. So we're going to start to play out the real life consequences of this death shot that so many people took. It's already coming out, as you were saying, with the insurance actuarials and other data coming in. They're not going to be able to stop this flood of bad news. Of
Scorpio got cut off again. The bad news is indeed a torrent. Remember how I mentioned here the discoveries, a report from Tom Rentz to Ron Johnson during his second opinion conference, these stunning increases in hypertension, nervous system, malignant neoplasm, multiple sclerosis, Guillain-Barre syndrome, breast cancer, malignant neoplasms, absolutely stunning stuff. Scorpio, please do call back. Meanwhile, we have another caller here we'll bring in the meanwhile. From the 408 area code, please give us your first name and your state and join the conversation.
It is I, Paul.
Okay, Paul. Great to have you here. Yeah. Scorpio, I'm hoping will be joining us, but go ahead, lay on.
So, as you know, I often, do or say what could be characterized as throwing a little cold water. I like to call it sobering up. I don't disagree with all the points that you make and any progress towards, public awareness and the narrative falling apart is, it's all a good thing. Okay. But, you know, when you make comments about the midterm elections and so forth, they're not inaccurate. I don't disagree with what you're saying. I want to just emphasize the point because I feel it's my job on this show when I do call that if we just change out a few congressmen and senators or a few governors and that's it, there's nothing going to change. It's just going to be a temporary regrouping of these people and they're going to bide their time and make more plans and then attack us again. They've already shown clearly what their goals are. Okay, you know, I sent you an email recently. You may have seen it already, maybe not. But, you know, there's only one way to read this, okay? That's the knives are out. These mandates and the forced vaccinations, the shutdown of the economy, everything they're doing, they're showing us that they wish to destroy us. And the bumper on Revolution Radio, I mean, everybody's heard it, where it says they want to decimate our entire existence. Isn't that what the bumper says? It also says the time for talk is over. I mean, the bottom line is these people are committed enemies. And anybody who's seen one video on the vaccines and the contents of the vaccines knows they didn't just cook this up in a few months and spend a little bit of money. These things were decades in the making with all sorts of money poured into miniaturized nanotechnology. So if they indeed succeed in vaccinating a lot of our children and make them sterile and change their genetics, they are decimating our existence. There's no other way to look at this. And as far as Tucker Carlson goes, okay, yeah, he says a lot of good things, but you can find videos of him online not that long ago essentially mocking 9/11 truthers, saying there was no evidence for an inside job. There's multiple videos of this. I cannot trust that man. I know he does and says some good things, but let him do a show on the contents of the vaccines, of the, you know, present the research of many people, not just one or two. Let Fox present that, and we can take a man like Tucker Carlson seriously or Fox seriously or the Republicans seriously. Until then, I think it's just a small distraction, a one step back before they take another three or four steps forward. That's my take, and I know that probably Dave agrees in large part.
Scorpio, yeah, please do respond to Paul's admonition trying to sober us up from too much optimism that the narrative really is falling apart. Your thoughts?
Well, I think Paul makes some good points, but the narrative is falling apart. And, you know, I think Tucker's kind of a steam valve. He will take things only so far. And, you know, he's a product of the enemy war transmissions known as the mainstream media news. So I don't think we can count him as an ally, certainly not. But, you know, I have to get back to work. You know, I get paid by the job, not by the hour, but I need to report that. But I guess my final point is, I think they're going to come up with another trick. They're going to have to back off on this one as the death rates really start to roll in from this death shot in terms of people's health and, you know, long-term just decline of health. And, you know, they're moving forward on vaccinating 5 and under as we speak. So, you know, it's a partial retreat, at least in terms of the propaganda. But I think there's new tricks coming, probably eco-fascism, and they're going to try to maneuver us into some kind of conflict over the next year or two, I believe. This whole Russia thing is absurd right now because if Putin was going to attack, he would have done it. You don't put your troops on the border and wait 3 weeks and go, hey, I'm going to do it. So I think they've painted themselves into a corner right now, and it's a strategic retreat, and that's about it. So get ready for more sneaky tricks, and with that, I'll leave you guys. Thank you.
Well, Scorpio, I'm so glad you called in. Thanks, my friend. Good luck with everything. Paul, go ahead and lay more on this. Go ahead and tell us why See, my opinion is Tucker is by far the best available. I mean, there's nothing better. Everything is worse. So if you're going to trash Tucker, you're trashing the best we have available. He's not perfect. I frequently observe that he seems to me still to be wet behind the ears regarding JFK 9/11 and others, Paul. But it seems to me he's doing a tremendous amount of good. I mean, look at this report I played today. That was sensational. Your thoughts?
Well, I think, to be fair, I don't want to think of what I say about Tucker as, you know, to characterize it as trashing him, okay? But, you know, you may be correct in saying he's the, quote, the best that we have, but the problem is much bigger. I mean, I know you've thought about this. You've done so many shows. I know you're not just a speaker and a producer, but you're a thinker. So just think about the sort of power, the organized power that exists to present us with a fake president and a fake White House set. Okay, think about that for a minute. Or to fake elections on the scale that they did. Okay, so there's an organized power behind the scenes. It's not going anywhere. We can't change out senators and congressmen and think there's going to be any difference. As I said, all I want to do is just remind people of the cold assessment. Now, on the other side of the coin, as I've felt for many years, it wouldn't be that hard to take back control. You know, it would take a small number of determined men, okay, who are committed to take action. And I really do feel that we can win. And there's only one way to look at this, and it's about winning, because all we're doing, all we've been doing is losing. And if they withdraw the mandates, my opinion is, okay, so what? The mandates were simply just a symbolic, really, of what it was their intent is. Their intent is to murder us, to tell us when we can work and how we can work, or whether we can work at all, where we can go, right? That we must take poisonous shots, that they lie about us. They lie to us day and night, every single turn you can imagine. And when they're not lying to us, they're not revealing the full truth. That was my point about what Tucker, you know, would be permitted to present on his show. I guarantee you he will never do the kind of videos that you do or that many other people have done regarding the truth of what's going on. So, again, you're correct in your political assessment of the situation. And you're correct in terms of what, you know, Tucker is saying to us. However, I want to have a cold assessment of where we are. If they just remove the mandates, in my opinion, so what? The mandates were a legal fraud to begin with, right? And nobody ever had to obey them. And multiple courts have ruled this. Does the media cover these court decisions? Has Tucker done one show? I don't watch him regularly, but has he done one show on any of the district court or state court rulings that have shown the governors have no authority to issue these orders?
Oh, sure. Absolutely, Paul. He's really good on these types of issues. He's not good or less good on the bigger conspiracies, and I've made that point many times. But I do think Tucker is doing a sensational job about these issues we're talking about here and now on the air, and by far better than anyone else, and gives us a whole lot to ponder, think about, and to understand about what's going on. But we're seeing, you see, the changes now going on, even in the mainstream, about paving the way for Biden to declare himself as the man who vanquished the virus by releasing these, where he's going to emulate Boris on the 1st of March. Do you agree or disagree about that?
No, I think that's absurd. Similar to earlier in your show when you talked about his numbers, and at one point you said he had a 54% approval. I don't believe that for one second. I think that kind of stuff is completely made up. I've now heard
54% disapproval. Disapproval, not approval. Disapproval.
No. Now, but you said his numbers have basically been reversed, but I think at one point you said earlier in the show that he had that high, but for me, it's impossible for me to believe that. But that doesn't mean it might not be true. I mean, just the other day on the hiking trail,
I passed a young lady who put her mask on when I walked by, you know. She wasn't wearing it when she was hiking, but she put it on, and I started to have a brief conversation with her. I said, you don't got to be afraid of anything. I tried to keep it short. She says, oh, yeah, you're probably right, but I'm going to get my booster, you know, anyway, so I'll be good. And it's like, God, I just shook my head. So we have bigger problems, is that people believe all the lies we've been told, and that's, you know, what I'm referring to with the power behind the scenes.
We have another caller here standing by, Chicago Brew. Brew, join the conversation.
Yeah, Paul fails to understand the lady put her mask on because she was about to mug him and then, you know, started and advised herself against it. So it was initially you got lucky, Paul. You were going to get, you know, ganked. So glad you're here.
Oh, I'm sorry. Was that humor there? I don't know.
Hey, you know, it was two, it could be 3 years now that Laura Ingraham, since she's been brought on to the Fox newscast as a commentator like Sean Hannity and so forth, that she was like, it was right September 11th anniversary, and she's like, I lost my best, one of my closest friends on flight, blah, blah, blah. So, Jim, tell us a story about flight blah, 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 and where those airplanes actually went down or didn't go down, or whether they're still in service years later. Please tell me, because this Laura Ingraham lost her one of her closest friends on one of those flights.
Ooh, I did not know that, Drew. That's interesting.
It is. Well, the short take is none of the 9/11 aircraft actually crashed on 9/11. Two of them were not even in the air, Flight 11 North Tower and Flight 77 Pentagon, not even in the air. For pilots of 9/11 Truth Track, the other two flights, 93 was over Champaign-Urbana, Illinois, after it officially crashed in Shanksville. 175 was over Harrisburg and Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, after it officially imploded in the South Tower. So we've been fed quite a lot of bullshit. I obtained myself FAA registration records showing that the planes that were used for those two flights, 93 and 175, were not even formally deregistered or taken out of service until 28 September 2005. So how can planes that weren't even in the air have crashed on 9/11, and how can planes that crashed on 9/11 have still been in the air 4 years later? If you want all the evidence that substantiates, because not only are these findings by pilots and my discovery of FAA and so forth, they're substantiated by the evidence on the ground that all this was fabricated or faked, albeit in different ways. Look at my 9/11 special, dedicated to Robert David Steele on 9/11 of 2021 on my BitChute channel. Brute, continue.
Yeah, it's not enough that they support the narratives, you know, that we find evidence that are not truthful, but they insert themselves into the narrative with a personal experience. So Laura Ingraham, our commentator, bringing us the truth every day on Fox News, inserted herself in a personal circumstances that one of her closest, dearest friends was on flight so-and-so, and she lost her that day, so on and so forth. So when they, you know.
Did you see this in a clip, Blue, or Brew, or did you?
I was literally, I was one evening, I put Laura Ingraham on, I don't know if whatever, the recording. I watched her say it. She was on there. She said it, and it was like, okay, blow my mind, you know.
I'd love to see the clip.
And then a lot of them do this, you know. I mean, yes, did they have maybe out of the 3,000 or so people, 3,000 plus people that died in those towers, did they know somebody? We can understand that because literal people got trapped and murdered in those towers, whether it be the rescue teams, people on the ground, and especially those that didn't get the memo not to go to work that day that were trapped in those towers. So if anyone says, asserts themselves and say, I knew somebody in an office of certain so-and-so or a rescuer, okay, we comprehend that because that is actual when they blew those buildings up, no planes. And we get more and more videos that sneak out every day. Like Jim, I showed you the one the other day with a dude, cell phone footage on the ground going, there was no plane. I literally just watched that building blow up, you know? So we've had this evidence out there for, you know, the couple decades now. But yet here we are, still telling the same old lie. We get lied to, lied to, lied to, lied to. They got their war, support for war on terrorism by Israel and got us all in the Middle East to do all the bad things they've been doing over there, train for urban warfare, bringing us, that was phase one, and what's going on now with the COVID and the pandemic and the whole technocracy movement that they got going on to pinpoint us, depopulate us, control us, change our DNA, change our thinking, get us into smart cities, control every aspect of what's ever left of what technically, quote unquote, humanity.
Well, let me just say, Brew, I'm very disappointed to hear this about Laura, because years ago, I can't estimate exactly how many years ago, it might have been as long ago as 2006, I was on her radio show. I called into her radio show to talk about 9/11. I'd been pilloried on Hannity and Combs, where they tried to take use me as a target as having founded Scholars for 9/11 Truth. The first time was on the 22nd of June, where I'd been invited to be the keynote speaker at Alex Jones American Scholars Conference. But I was able to take control of that show where Ollie North was sitting in for Sean Hannity. And at one point I was on with Laura, and we actually spoke for about 20 minutes. It was an extremely cordial conversation about 9/11, and we got along famously. And when I tried to track down the show, it appeared they had cut out that segment. So for you to be telling me that Laura's citing a personal friend who died on one of these flights where nobody died, that I find very disturbing. If you can find a link, I'd really like it.
My best suggestion is it's up 2 to 3 years, and on the day of September 11th, she'd say this if her show was airing that day. I don't know what day the 11th would fall on. The day of or the day prior, because that's what they'd be talking about it. So going back 2 to 3 years, and probably up to 3 years now. So it shouldn't be too hard to find if they allow us video archive. I don't know, but shouldn't be difficult.
Fair enough. Paul, let me
reinforce, though, the larger point that Brew just made in his little rant, talking about what's still going to be in play. In other words, all the stuff about the vaccine agenda, the technocracy, you know, the smart cities, Agenda 2030, all that stuff is still going to be in play, no matter they drop the mandates, you know, no matter what Tucker Carlson says, because there's an entrenched power structure, and they've let us know that they have the will to rule us. They have the will to implement these things. So that's the larger point that has to be borne in mind. Laura Ingraham and what she said at the smaller point, it's interesting. I never knew about it, but okay, so there it is. And again, you know, before we wrap the show up, my quick other addendum is just think about this, Jim. You know, you've seen the work of La Quinta Columa, right? You've seen the work of Reiner Fulmich and all these other people that are doing, like I said, fantastic expose of the vaccine agenda. Well, I just watched one the other night where they said that they've been putting graphene oxide in the flu shots for years, and they're putting them in other vaccines. So will the vaccine schedule for children in this country still remain? Of course it will still remain. So there's just some really hard, committed work that we got to do. Otherwise, we're just going to be victims for the rest of our existence.
Paul, I agree with all that. Go ahead, Brew.
Jim should recall one of his very first conversations with Judy Mikovits and Giuseppe on his show was that she suggested that as early as 2015, they were injecting people with what would we call SARS-CoV-2 today, that those major cases of all the people that got, you know, after those following years, major, major cases of the flu and pneumonia where millions of people got it or died, that they were injecting this version that they're calling the pandemic today. So that's from Judy, and I recite it all the time.
I actually think they're using what have been identified as chemtrails. I think they're spraying us with a lot of this stuff all over the country, too. I think that, as Paul's suggesting, we can't let down our guard. I think he's 100% correct about that. And while there are encouraging signs, this ain't over. I agree. This ain't over. We're still in the midst of a massive genocidal effort to murder most of the population of planet Earth. Bruce.
As we're hearing over the media, or certain media, Sweden's no longer doing lockdowns. This is no longer doing lockdowns. L.A. County and whatever saying, and New York saying you don't have to wear the mask, or this, you don't have to do all these things anymore. But it's still being enforced. People are still saying you can't come in here without a mask. There's three people in here. We don't allow more than three at a time in our little convenience store. People are still pulling this. They're still pushing the vax. They're still pushing the booster. And what's all the stories that's coming out now? And I'm sure you guys have covered this. Is now they're saying HIV, AIDS. Oh my gosh! Here's what we got to consider about next. Why is all these HIV cases happening? What's going on here? Where'd this come from? Because they've been injecting people with HIV for years. Not just that, but, you know, what do we say in the beginning of this? What is the SARS-CoV-2 gain of function? Oh, HIV. That was the gain of function. We've been talking about this since the beginning. Yes, and now with these shots, basically they're giving them HIV and AZT in the same cocktail. So now how did they kill all the people that were diagnosed with HIV? They gave them AZT, the chemotherapy drug, which destroyed their immune system. That's how they shriveled up and died. It wasn't having HIV. Ask Magic Johnson, healthy as a horse today, because he didn't take their cocktail of AZT and whatever. He just built his immune system, as Judy Mikovits suggested that he do. Healthy as a horse, multi-billionaire, big business, so on and so forth. Celebrated today. Generation 30-plus years later, there's a whole generation of people out there that never even knew the guy retired from basketball because he had HIV and so on and so forth, because it was the scare of the time.
Yeah, that's all great stuff, Rue. I'm really glad you called in. I hope you'll continue and call in more often. Paul, I could give you 30 seconds. I know you can't say anything in 30 seconds, but I'll give you a shot at it. Go ahead.
Well, I can. Like I said, I would just echo, you know, all the things that Bruce was talking about. And I mean, you know, again, I want to be a normal person, to be optimistic, and there's little things that do make me feel better, but we have to remain very grim about what lies ahead of us and what these people are all about, okay? Well, that's just the bottom line.
Well, Paul and Rue and Scorpio, I'm just thrilled all three of you guys called in. That's absolutely sensational. I'm so glad to have everyone here back on Wednesday with the event. Thanks for tuning in. See you then.
This is Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. I pulled some strings and gotten you front row seats to my new show, The Perfect Triangle, live Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Revolution Radio Studio A. The Perfect Triangle is equilateral, three sides of the same length. In an angry, bipolar world, three perfect sides reveal many truths.
Body, mind, and spirit.
Thought, word, and deed.
Conspiracy, propaganda, and truth.
Natural health, allopathic tyranny, and your body.
Freedom, globalism, and sovereign nations.
And so much more. Each week, the Perfect Triangle will blast through fake news lies, champion the natural way and natural law, unravel the Orwellian deceptions of our corrupt government, reveal the satanic evil of globalist banks and transnational corporations. Tune in every Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, to Revolution Radio Studio A for thoughtful discussions with free thinkers. Your calls are always welcome. The Perfect Triangle, Perfect Triangle with Perfect Giuseppe Triangle. From the District of Criminals. Join me, won't you?
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict. But